Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Looky here, bitches. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. I'm over here fucking your mother. You fucking dick knobs.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
I'm a hustler, baby. I just want you to know. It ain't where I've been. But where
I don't know what the damn foul out wants.
Now I just wanna love ya. But be who I am. And with all this cash, you forget your man. Now give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Come on.
When the Remy's in the system, ain't no telling when I fuck him, will I diss him? That's what they be yelling. I'm a pimp by blood, not relation. Y'all be chasing, I'll replace them, huh? Drunk on Chris, mommy on E. Can't keep a little model hands off me. Both in the club, high singing on key. And I wish I never met her at all. It gets better, ordered another round. It's about to go down. Got six model chicks, six bottles of Chris. Four velvet ass, got weed everywhere. What do you say? Me, you and your Chloe glasses. Go somewhere private where we could discuss fashion. Like Prada blouse, Gucci bra. Okay. Filth Mark jeans, take that off.
Give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Come on. Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
Give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Mama, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
Save the narrative, you saving it for marriage. Let's keep it real, man, you saving it for carriage. You wanna see how far I'ma go, how much I'ma spend, but
you see where I go.
Know. Zip zero, stingy with De Niro. Might buy you crisp, but that about it.
These girls are A1 USDA certified racists. There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you. I discovered that it didn't make any difference whether you smoked reefer in the white classmate's sparkling new van, or in the dorm room with some brother you'd met down at the gym, or on the beach with a couple of Hawaiian kids who had dropped out of school and now spent most of their time looking for an excuse to brawl. Get your hands out of my fries. You ain't my bitch, nigga.
The DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homos didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
No.
Hey, Donna! Did you shot the coffee yet?
Oh, snap!
Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. The DJ New Style Show. Exclusive Tuesday night programming on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. And also, the thing that is fancied in a country that is native to a certain band that we all love. They light themselves on fire and play great songs. Who are they? Rammstein! Oh, yes. Oh, Germans. What's going on, everybody out there? Thank you for tuning in tonight. We apologize for missing last week. We'll get into that in a little bit. We've got a lot to get to tonight. We've got a couple guests lined up. Hopefully these couple of guests, pan out. We do have one that's here every single week. Week in, week out. Your bald friend and mine. Germ Freak, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good evening, DJ New Style.
Wow, that's pretty good. Wow. Energetic.
Yeah.
Why are you clapping like that?
Uh huh. just, you know, one of those days.
That's how you open the show. I mean, you didn't have it. Do you ever, like, plan something for the...
just fucking go with the flow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just really go into it. Yes.
You know what Snapple fact number 200 is?
No, I don't. What is Snapple fact 200?
The first country to use postcards was Austria.
Okay.
Hey, do you know that this year will be the 200th birthday of both Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin?
I do now. I didn't know that.
Hey, did you know that there's 200 calories in one Sara Lee whole wheat bun?
No.
You aware of that?
I wasn't aware. 200 calories.
Yeah.
200 years old for Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin? Yeah. Interesting.
Did you know that 200 is a sum of dollars given in the classical Monopoly game to a player passing go?
Yes. Were you aware of that? I actually knew that one. I knew that one. Where are you getting at with this? What's the story?
No, here? I just there's this stuff in my head. I just wanted to.
Oh, you know what? Let loose, Frank. Let it come out.
Did you know that a cholesterol level of 200 and below is considered a desirable level corresponding to lower risk for heart disease? Were you aware of that?
I'm aware of that, and I'm aware that you're about five years away from seeing it again.
Okay. Hey, did you know that this year marks the 200th anniversary of the first American woman to be awarded a patent? How do you feel about that?
I feel like we are 200 years ahead of a better time.
These are the times that try men's souls. Did you know that this year marks a... These are the times that try men's souls. You know who said that?
I did not know that.
Thomas Paine.
Was that Ryan 200?
That was Thomas Paine.
His last name 200? Okay.
Thomas Paine, revolutionary, radical inventor and intellectual Thomas Paine. Common Sense.
Was he known to have masturbated 200 times a week?
No.
I'm trying to get to the 200 part of this fact.
Hey, Ken.
I noticed a theme.
Ken.
Frank. Yes.
Did you know that Rolling Stone magazine ranks the song Loser by Beck as the 200th greatest song ever written? Were you aware of that?
I am now. I don't know
hey,
what
Ken,
you're, what
Ken.
Are you getting at with this 200, Frank?
Did you know that IMDb
Frank, what are you
voters,
doing?
Did you know that IMDb voters ranked Casino as their 200th favorite movie?
Really? That's it?
You got a lot of nerve talking about me behind my back over my head. Did you know that Jerry Miller was the 200th person exonerated by DNA evidence?
I didn't know
Ken,
that. I didn't know
do
it.
Do you know that tonight is the program?
Yes.
Did you know that did you know the number of NASCAR races won by Richard Petty is 200? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Ken, did you know that tonight's podcast, or whatever you call a program, is a 200th episode of the DJ New Style Show?
Wow! 200 episodes!
Yeah!
Almost! Because we just started it. 200 episodes almost!
Yes!
Yes! Yelling and screaming and talking about assholes and shit and feces and everything we spew from our necks, our penises, our pores and our armpits, our butts, our friends, our neighbors, our Wonder Bread slices, our Starbucks, our beloved burritos. Our itchy anuses. I'm going through things that I'm coming off the top of my dome.
I apologize.
Just because I have hair on the top of mine, Frank, doesn't mean that you should stop me in my tracks. This is a moving time for me. This is a labor of love. The DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Me, DJ New Style. This bald guy, Germ Freak, that just popped up out of nowhere. We've done some great things. We will continue to do great things. We will entertain some people that have discovered this. Some people that have decided to put this on their very expensive iPods. Zooms, the three of you that have bought the Zoom. The brown one, you know, why? I am dedicated to this show. Frank is dedicated to this show, and we are proud. To continue doing this for you with no salary whatsoever. As we accept our call, 316-768-4472.
Whoa.
Cutting the fanfare very short.
Hey, what up, man? Shaw City, man.
Shaw City!
Oh, Shaw City!
Yeah! Fuck yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, God, let me just say something here.
What's up, homie?
this is a long time coming. I for real. I mean, I've played phone tag through, like, you know, on the regular cell phone, but never through, never through YouTube. I've never played phone tag through YouTube. Can I just start this call off by saying, shout out to Maine.
Yeah, man.
For those of you who don't know, Mr. Shy City, Mr. 26s, why don't you give the intro? Because I can't do it because I'm just really not that cool.
Kind of white.
Hey.
Man, you know, hey, man, this is South City, a.k.a. South City, man. This is 763, Mr. Damn, get that slap-ass Jackie, all that shit.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Mr. Shy City, you are a YouTube sensation right now. You're blowing up everywhere. I discovered your videos on a service called Tumblr. Are you familiar with Tumblr?
No, I never heard of it, man. I'm really not like an internet dude. I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
Well, it's a blogging software. It's gonna be, I think, bought by Yahoo any day now. And the founder of it is a guy named David Karp, who just really loves your videos, and to the point where in a tutorial on how to use Tumblr, he made a screenshot of somebody posting one of your videos saying, "Hey, check this out. This is great. Mr. Shy said he keeps his refrigerator stocked so he can get laid."
Damn. That's crazy.
You're all over the place, man.
Man, people keep telling me that, but I don't, personally, man, I don't really feel famous, because when I walk outside my crib, you know, everyone treats me just like that regular old black dude.
Mr. Shy City, I want to say I'm a huge fan. You are, without a doubt, the newest sensation next to Kimbo Slice that has hit YouTube.
I'm gonna say far exceeding Kimbo. Because Kimbo got, you know, Kimbo's done, first of all. The thing is, the fact that, Mr. Shy City, the fact that my co-host, who is a 40-year-old bald man.
I'm 38.
40, round up. He's 40 years old. He's afraid of germs. He has found a way to connect with your videos. Because I think that the videos you put out there, they have a personal touch to them. You're a naturally entertaining guy. And you have some quirks about you that I think anybody can relate to. I think in Frank's case, Frank, you connected with him.
I connected in, there was one particular one where I connected with.
Was it the soap dish?
Pardon?
Was it the soap dish?
Yeah, well, the one I'm thinking of is actually when he was being generous and giving people, I guess, money out. You were actually going Christmas Day giving some unfortunate individuals handing out money. Isn't that correct, Mr. Shy City?
Yeah. And you know what was crazy about that video? I wasn't even going to make a Christmas video because I really don't like doing holiday videos. I just feel like they're corny as hell. You know what I'm saying? And it was weird, man. I was just sitting at the crib. I had like $300 on me cash. And that's all the money I had like for the whole month. And I was complaining about it. And then someone was just like, man, it's a whole bunch of people out there ain't got no money. And I'm complaining. So I was like, you know what? I went over to Walgreens, bought some Christmas cards, man, and just randomly threw money, you know, different denominations in the cards, and just started giving them away, man, real talk.
You gave them away.
I noticed
and you gave
one
away.
Individual, I guess a homeless gentleman, you actually shook the guy's hand, but then realized that you needed to throw that glove away.
I am
going
to have to change that glove.
Yeah, well, hepatitis C is a dangerous motherfucker.
You can be generous, but you got to watch out for yourself. You don't want to get Hep C. The weird thing about that is the homeless guy was talking about his girlfriend. Like, like, really, how is this guy maintaining a relationship when he's living under an overpass?
You know what, real talk, you'd be surprised. Homeless people actually have longer lasting relationships than people with money.
Are you serious? How does this work out?
No, like, real talk, have you ever seen, like homeless people, like, I've actually known people, like, when I grew up back in the hood when I was 8, and I could go back to the same hood, the motherfuckers are still together.
It's insane.
No, because when you broke, you ain't got nothing. There's nothing for you to do but hang out and have sex all day. What else could you possibly do?
And then Mr. Shy City rolls up in his Chevy Caprice, hands you maybe $100, and then, you know, maybe she doesn't look so good anymore. Maybe right. You move on to the next bitch.
Mr. Shot Sitat, did you, the pressing question is, did you get your toilet tank cover repaired yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's crazy because I got that fixed, you know what I'm saying? I got my telephone back, my internet, my cable, everything's looking good. I got the court case on Friday, though, and I'm getting kind of nervous about it, matter of fact.
Now, this is about, what, the handicap spot?
Yeah, the handicap ticket, yeah.
Can you explain that for some of the people that might not be familiar with you yet? Because
what it was my brother was, you know, I had worked like a long shift, 16 hours. All I wanted to do was just get some ice cream. It was like the first, like the last night of the whole new year, 2008. You know what I'm saying? So, went in, get the ice. Now, when I looked outside and somebody was like, had their hands on my car trying to look in the window, I didn't know it was a police officer. Because I didn't see the squad car, I didn't see his badge, I didn't see his gun. And when I came outside, I told him, I was like, hey, what are you doing? I had an attitude about it. And that kind of started the whole, like, spiraling, you know, turns of events. Like, had I been polite, that video probably would have never happened because I would have never got that ticket.
Yeah, see.
And then, you know, then it kind of went from there. And then basically what got me the actual ticket is when I kind of made a rude comment about his mom. And that's what brought us to this point where I had to explain to people what happened and everything. But it's funny because, like, people always write me all the time, you should have just parked backwards, you should have did this. But the thing that's so crazy about all my videos is, if a lot of things never happened, I would never be able to make videos. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand. If you didn't mouth off to this cop and insult his mother, we wouldn't have had some YouTube gold.
That would have never happened. You
it's
know,
true.
Like, that's real talk. Like, as a matter of fact, had my homeboy, had he, when I was at his crib, had he never challenged me to prove that I get women off my refrigerator, that video would have never been made.
Now, would you kind of explain this? You have a refrigerator in your place with no food in it. You just have a refrigerator with, it looks like a that of a deli's. You have all different types of beverages lined up. How does this do for you?
I think you have some point on that, don't
you? Oh, you said how does it work for me?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, man, you know what? I'll just be honest. First of all, I eat out every day. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really need to have food in my house. But basically with all those drinks, man, I was just like, somebody asked me this the other day. I just growing up, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just kind of peeped that, like, older women happen to drink Mystics. All the white girls, when I went to school, all they would drink were the Snapples. You know what I'm saying? All the hood chicks I've ever met, all they do is drink Arizona iced tea and you know, like, vanilla Coke and cherry Coke. You know what I'm saying? So this is just picking things up. When I went to college, all the chicks, I swear to God, who were, like, the Jamaican, I don't eat, you know, beef. These chicks, all they drank was green tea and herbal, you know, supplements and all that stuff. So I kind of just, in my mind, just, like, created this whole thing. Like, I really, you know, and real talk, like, because I've met women off YouTube, you know what I mean? Like, who just, they love, you know, what I do. And they come over to the crib expecting, you know, to see food. And when they open it, it blows their mind that my fridge really looked like that.
They go have sex with them.
Now, you want to do is eat cereal and you have some type of a mantra.
We have a quick clip here. This is from one of the more recent incidents. I guess you're having a bad 2009. Let's take a quick look at this here. We're gonna play this for you.
I'm starting to think something is up because every time this chick tries to come over here, something happens, whether it's my toilet, my internet, my kitchen was acting crazy one day. Jesus, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Is there something about this chick you just don't want me to have no part of? Because this is the second time. Now look here, brother. You don't have to be doing all these symbols and signs. Call me. Call me on my cell phone, say, Shot City, what's up? It's Jesus. What's going on? I'm going to say, what up, Jesus? Then all you got to say is, look here, brother, on the real, that girl got herpes 1 through 13. You don't want nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is just like stream of consciousness. You never show yourself. It's always your own point of view. And you kind of just let, you know, let your feelings out there.
And you know, there's a couple of video, which was kind of, I guess you broke character, perhaps, maybe. You were visiting a friend of yours who had passed away.
My homeboy. You know what? I almost didn't even post that video, man, real talk. I didn't want to post it because I felt like, you know, I felt like I want people to know, get to know me, but I don't want them to, you know, I felt like that was like a little too personal. But at the last second, man, I was like, you know what, I can't claim to be the realest dude to ever get on the internet and then not show you everything. So I was just like, man, if I could talk about masturbating, then I should be able to, like, you know, shit, show you a video of me visiting my homeboy. You know what I mean?
And the thing is, I'm sure there's a ton of people that do this. I've never done this. But it seems...
What,
not during the show yet. But before and after at least four times. Definitely. I'm good for four after this. But I've never gone to mourn a friend or a relative and brought them a blanket and snacks. Snacks on snacks!
I don't know, man. I just, you know, it's like, the only way I can really describe it is, it's like, for me, I know, I understand the brother ain't really conscious of me being there, you know what I'm saying? He in heaven, or if it exists, but it's just my way of, you know, dealing with the, you know, dealing with how I feel about my homie, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, that's just real, that's just coming from a real dude, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, absolutely. You basically go from, you know, charity, like more of a tender moment where you're mourning your friend, but you're like, you always seem to be happy if you're not frustrated with the law or something not working. There was one time when you were having another stretch of bad luck and you had a little bit of a masculine problem, and I'm going to play a clip of it right here so everybody can kind of get the hang of it. You're sitting in your laundry room just fucking frustrated, venting to your camera. Like, this was the point where you just put the camera down and just fucking sat there and said all this shit. Here it is.
As we're getting into it, I'm realizing something's wrong. Like, my penis is not erecting. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold the fuck on. Besides the fact my money's fucked up, I look like shit, I feel like shit, I can't fucking walk. My hair is all looking a goddamn mess. I haven't won an NBA 2K9 or 2K8 game in 2 days. Now you're telling me the penis ain't gonna work?
Oh, man. I love the fact that one of your greatest concerns is not winning a NBA 2K8 or 2K9 game in 2 days.
Yeah, I get mad about that 2K, man. I mean, you know, it's funny, man. Like, when I was younger, when I was 19, I don't care what my situation was, my penis was 100% ready to go 24 hours a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then for some odd reason, when you hit, like, 26, 27, like, your penis is affected by outside situations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My job, argument I may have with somebody. At the time, with that ankle, I was on these, like, inflammatory, you know, joint pills or whatever. So that was affecting it. So it's so crazy. That's why I always try to stay in a good mood, because, like, when I'm in a good mood, it puts me in a position, like, I have a high probability of hitting the ass the way it needs to be hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then a lot of times, if that doesn't work, you know, like, if you get a new chick, I don't know what y'all do, but anytime I get a new chick, like, and it's the first time I'm about to do my thing, I pop, like, a half a Viagra pill just to, you know, get that confidence up. And then after I hit it the first time, then my confidence is, like, always up, and then I always never need to use it again after that. You know, unless I get, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, it's real late at night or something. I might have to pop one at 4 a.m. or something like that.
So you basically use Viagra like fucking A-Rod. In 2003, was using the steroids just to keep that competitive edge right in the beginning.
Just to get it, like, jump started. Because after you hit it, like, right the first time, and she gives you that look in your eye, like, after that, I'm good. Like, I can hit it just off that one night. I just keep remembering what I did on Tuesday, and it always, like, reminds me, and then I always, like, end up smashing it the way it needs to be smashed, I guess.
Yeah. Frank, did you happen to see the one... Where Mr. Shy City described his bathroom? I instantly thought of you.
Again,
Shy City. I'm gonna call you Mr. Shy City because we're not, you know, we're not like that yet. I have to use the term Mister. You keep a soap dish, and you keep a pump of liquid soap in the bathroom. You have both available.
And you have a test, and it's, you utilize it as some type of a test for your girlfriends there.
Yeah.
Now, what's the deal with the soap dish? Why?
I mean, man.
Come on.
Basically, it's like this. I'll be real. Like, you know, I grew up in the hood the majority of my life. So when I came to the suburbs, like, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, really wealthy Italian people's houses. Like, they have like random trinkets all over the place, almost to the point where it's kind of tacky almost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like so, shells that are like soap that's shaped like a conch shell.
Excuse me?
Yeah, exactly. And you're not allowed to touch it.
Yeah, exactly. They're for show. And there's towels that are for show as well.
Excuse me?
If you walk in that bathroom later on and your decorative towel's wet, you're never going to invite that person over again because they shouldn't use that towel.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now you have something like this as well, right? The soap dish?
Like this. Yeah, basically, if you actually look in my bathroom, it sort of resembles what you'll find at, like, a rich Italian person's house. Like, it's a little overdone, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really need all the things on that sink, but I kind of liked it. And what happened was, I went to my homeboy's house one day, because his mother is, like, straight out of Sicily. You know, it's like, the front lawn has that thing with the golden, fierce ball-looking thing, and, like, all the, like, seven dwarfs-looking things in the lawn. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all those statues and like, the Virgin Mary and,
gnomes. So I go into the bathroom, you know, I don't know, you know, we were playing ball, I washed my hands, and she, like almost ripped my head off. Like, why did you use my fucking soap? And she got that accent with the cigarette and everything. That's my fucking soap. Don't fuck it.
The fuck are you doing with my fucking soap? Now it don't look like a fruit no more. It looks like a fucking ball.
Yeah, man. And even though she yelled at me, I thought it was, like, cool as hell that, like they had so much money that they actually had an option on what soap to use. Because at my house, at my crib, like, no matter what the job was, everybody used Dawn for everything.
Exactly. Everything has a purpose because, you know, money's tight enough where if you buy something, it's because you need it. But these people, they're just buying random, you know, glittery things to just throw among their fucking, you know, plants in the garden.
Hell yeah. So I was like, yo, if I ever get a little dough on me, I'm going to have like two or three options to wash your hands. And technically, you're not allowed to use my soap dish. Like, and that's where I got it from, was from that woman.
So now if you go in the bathroom after somebody and you see something wrong with the soap dish, what is the say? What's your first instinct in regards to this guest?
I like really tell. My first instinct is to take the soap out the dish, wash out the dish, and then put the soap, dry the soap off, put it back on, and then I'm instantly in. Okay, we're definitely having sex, but she's about to get the fuck out of my house as soon as this is over.
She left a pissy soap dish around. There's all that.
Well, I don't want to be like that. That, no disrespect, you know what I'm saying. But I don't want to, like, people come off like on some sweet queer type thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop touching my soap dish. Like, so I won't mention it. I'll just feel that way. And then, like, the whole time I'm having sex with her, like, it's in the back of my mind that, like, as soon as this is over, she's going home.
The decorative soap. That's the telltale sign. Do you think you kind of invent these things just to get rid of women? You just kind of have traps for them to fall into?
Like, you know what? On the real, nah, because a lot of times I'll just kick people out just to kick people out. Like, I don't, like, invent excuses on, like, not hanging with niggas. Like, I just want to have people over. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'll let you come in here, and you can, like, chill for a little bit, but we're not spending the night. We're not going to be here over a weekend. And if you came in on Tuesday, you're leaving on Tuesday. Like, we're not going to be doing no Wednesday morning thing, and then you're cooking Pop-Tarts, and I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Frank, I heard
Mr. Shah, sit there. What I love about you is the fact that you, your anticipation and your preparation of situations. In addition to the different beverages and drinks you have in your refrigerator, in case one of the women you bring home has a child, you have a smorgasbord of snacks, candy bars, and crackers. Isn't that correct?
The freeze pops. Freeze pops.
And you know where that came from? Because, well, basically, where I was living at, where I originally lived at, I started off, my first place was an apartment. And then, actually, I learned a valuable lesson. Never have sex with your next-door neighbors, especially on the same floor, like right next door to you.
Yeah.
Because this chick, she was cute as hell, so I couldn't ever talk to me not to do it. But she had a son. And this dude, he would do everything in his power. Like, if he knew she was coming over here, he would act up. He would do all these things. So one day, I kind of had him come over. And at the time, all I had was, like, Pop-Tarts. Like, I didn't really have anything for kids, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I kind of picked up, like, wait, if I can, like, distract him, he's good. Like, he didn't really even, like, I know he didn't want me near his mom, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, yo, if I could just, like, create a situation where he's so fucking busy, there's no way he could stop me. So, like, literally that day I went to, like, the local CVS. I was grabbing, like, random things I thought little kids liked. And the first thing when I opened up my freezer, the first thing he asked for was a freeze pop, and that's when I knew I hit something.
There you go.
And then after that, it was like I would sit him down in front of my PS3 or my Xbox, and I swear, people think I'm joking. This kid sat in front of my TV for 30 minutes trying to figure out which one he wanted to play. And by then, it was over. I already hit it.
He didn't even get to play a game.
Me and the girl come out the bedroom, right? It was a little quickie, no big deal. He's still sitting in front of my fucking television with two controllers in his hands for two opposite, systems trying to figure out which games he wanted to play, and by then it was too late.
Yeah, exactly. So you defeated him with, sugary syrup snacks. The freeze pops as a kid were probably the quickest and greatest things ever. As a kid, if you handed me an orange or a grape freeze pop, you could fuck my mom. Really, I wouldn't care. I would sit in front of the TV, and I wouldn't care that people were having sex with my mom. It's right. A genius move. And when I heard you say, hit him with a freeze pop, that was my favorite thing in the world, because it's so true. That is the ultimate distraction, the ultimate camouflage for what your motives truly are.
Yeah, man. You know, it's so funny, man, like, real talk. I know when I first got on, people was like, this dude has to be an act. Just like this is impossible. Nobody does this. Nobody talks like this. But, like, after a while, like, people started realizing, like, yo, this motherfucker is, like, he's really ignorant. Like, he's real. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I know people ask me all the time, you know, like, when your video's going to fall off. It's like, as long as I just keep it, just give you what's going on, like, I could do this for a while, you know what I mean? So my friends look like that. I trick kids all the time. I get baby mamas in here. I get girls off YouTube who they just want to kick it with me and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is everyday life, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I post. But I don't know if I'll be posting after this year, but for right now, man, it's just a cool experience to meet new people, talk to new people, and just let them see how I live, you know?
Let me tell you, we had an experience with, another person that was a YouTube sensation. His name is Fritz, and he's the guy behind the Unforgivable videos. I don't know Yeah, he's the guy in the woods. He's just, you know, he's talking all this wild shit. And we got him on, and we figure maybe he does a couple of the lines from the video or whatever. And now he completely abandoned the character. He's pretending to be somebody that reads Jane Austen novels and levitates and studies Asian art. He completely ditched the character for something else, and he never contacted us again. And it was a really difficult effort to get him on. I emailed you once on YouTube, and you're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll call, whatever. it's really refreshing.
You know why, though, man? Because I'm not no character, man. I'm like a real, you know, it's like, how can I... Back in about 4 weeks ago, right, NBC calls me up. You know what I mean? I get an email from NBC Universal. Please call this number. We want to talk to you, right?
Oh, my God.
So check it. Hold on. So I'm on the phone. Now, peep it. Like, they don't like dealing with people like me because I truly, deep in my heart, don't give a fuck. Like, in a couple months, I'll never post another video again, and I'll just go do something else and just live my life.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about being famous. All that shit is... The only thing I'm getting off YouTube is, like, more ass. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be real. Like, I've never had sex with an Asian chick before till, like, 2 weeks ago, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's just...
Did it meet your expectations, Mr. Chastity?
No, it was vagina. It wasn't really... I thought... Honestly, in my mind, because, I saw so many porn videos about what Asian... How they get down. I'm thinking, this is going to be, like...
You think every time it's going to be Kobe Tai. Right?
Yeah, right. Yo, you know what? I swear to God, she really, no disrespect to Shorty, but she was just like this chubby Korean chick, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I still did it just to see what was up, but it wasn't nothing to it.
Yeah,
it was actually like having sex with a white girl. I can honestly say that.
Well, then, I got sad to say that that's all I've had experience with, Mr. Chester.
Yeah, man.
I've never...
Nah, but fuck that shit. My bad, I'm getting off. But...
Again, hold on. That's another thing that you do in your videos. It's one of the greatest things ever. You'll start some kind of a dialogue on something you're holding. I don't know if it's a fucking slice of pizza or some kind of fabric softener or whatever. And then you'll just decide this is worthless. And you'll say, nah, fuck that shit. And just throw it to the side and start talking about something else immediately. It's the greatest transition in the history of communication, I think.
Oh, thanks.
So you're saying NBC contacted you. Is there some kind of a deal in the works?
Yeah, wait, nah, this is the funniest shit all time. I'm on the phone. Now, I'm on the phone with some chick who claims, you know, she's VP of something important. Some bullshit. So it's her, it's like this agent dude, and then it's like three writers. Like they're all, this is like a conference call. And they're like, they're talking, and we can do this, and blah, 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 blah. And then I instantly got pissed because somebody in the background said, how did you create this character? This character is so wrong. And so I paused, and I said, yo, like, real talk, I'm not a fucking character. Like, don't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so they instantly apologized, but you could tell, like, they kind of, like, a small part of them died.
Yeah.
They were thinking, like, this is, like, some dude that we can, like, control. This is a character. Like, we could build on this. And when they kind of realized I was a real dude, like, it was, like, disappointment in the whole room. Like, I could hear it, like, on the phone. And then, like, they wanted me to do all this stuff for, like, a little bit. And then when I told them no, dog, they didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
They were like, don't you want to be famous? We can make this bigger than you've been. And when I told them, nah, I'm all right, and then hung the phone up, they didn't know how to take that because there's so many people on YouTube, MySpace. Everybody wants to be famous and known and shit, man. I just don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
That is probably the most vivid display of reality in a person ever. You just truly want to do what you want to do, and you're going to do it on your terms. And these people think that it's going to be some kind of scripted fucking sitcom like Joey or Friends, where you walk in the room and say, Jazz it, man! And then everybody fucking laughs, and then you go sit on the couch and comment about... No.
How you
do what you do. Yeah. How you doing? Some dumb fucking WAP character.
Dude, all these networks, man. Motherfucking Animal Planet. They call me, we want to use your voice for our new... They wanted me to use my voice for some fucking... Like, these rats that come out of a hole, I guess they call them field mice, whatever, they wanted to do, like, this whole, like, Animal Planet series, you know, where they use my voice, like, on some family, you know, a family of muskrats or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
And you refused?
I turned that shit down. Man, dude, like, what am I going to do?
That's
like,
true.
You want to fly me to whatever their studios was and spend 2 weeks? I'm like, fuck, nah, dude, that's stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like... just so I can be on some, you know, sound like I'm on some ignorant shit. You got NBC, Animal Planet, HBO, Verizon. These motherfuckers, when I told them no, they didn't know how to act.
But you said yes to the DJ New Style radio show? Like, really? No offense, but you got to take that check.
I'm going to be real. The reason why is because you're letting me call and just be myself. All these other people, they start every conversation with, we love what you do. Okay, now, we want you to do that, but no cursing, no derogatory language, no homophobic comments. You know what I'm saying? So by the time I'm done, it's like I'm not even me no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even with Verizon, they wanted me to create a one minute video that they would sell on the, like, on the phone thing or whatever. And it would just be me doing silly, like, they want me to do nigga shit. Like, this chick is delicious. You know what I'm saying? That's why I was like, why do I have to say this chick is delicious? Like, why can't it be, you know, fettuccine alfredo? Why can't it be pizza? Why the fuck it gotta be fried chicken? Oh, we just thought that there was some ideas we throw at you. And I was like, nah, I'm all right.
It's passive racism. Passive racism, man. Really.
Hell yeah, man.
A brother made a pizza. That's my Mr. Shy City impression, by the way. It's not very good. But.
Nah, but I like calling in, talking to real people, you know what I'm saying? Doing this shit right here is fun to me, you know? Because in 6 months, when I stop posting, you know what I'm saying, I can say, well, I got to, you know, do a couple radio interviews and shit.
So you're really going to stop in 6 months?
People ask me all the time, about how, you know, oh, don't stop posting. But the reality is like, at some point, you know, I'm just going to stop posting, you know, and then just, and when, I know people that who think I'm not real as shit, the realest shit I'll ever do is I'll stop posting, you'll never hear from me again. I won't be on no TV show, I won't be on no radio, and I think at that point, that's when people will say, yo, that motherfucker was real.
That's true.
Like, whoa.
That's you true.
Because I could have been made money on this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't give a fuck. You know, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for, like, cool people like y'all, man. I post my shit. Y'all hit me up and say, yo, we love your shit. I'm here for the people who hit me up and say, man, dude, like, I'm going through, it's a lot of people going through some rough shit, man, 2009, no jobs, all this shit, who write me, they say, man, yo, your videos are getting me through, man, keep doing your thing. And that's why I feel bad, but I know I'm not going to be posting it in 2010. Hell no.
Really? See, now the thing, like, I do this dumb show. I sleep, I masturbate, I look at, you know, porno, and I work sometimes from the same room, and I do this show. I don't get paid for it, but I get a charge that people, you know, send positive feedback. Yeah. But you just, you know, you're not going to play yourself out just to continue or grow some kind of an audience. I completely will. If fucking Animal Planet calls me to talk about Meerkat Manor and become one of the fucking Meerkat, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to do that because, maybe I'm not as true to myself as I probably should be. I don't know.
Nah, man. You know, it's not even about not being true. Like, if that's what you want to do, man, do your thing. Get your money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But some people, how can I explain? Like, my mother, like, a couple days ago, I'm chilling with my mom. She told me, she said, yo, the best ball players on earth never played in the NBA. The best actors is not in Hollywood. And the funniest motherfuckers you will ever know on this earth don't stand on a stage with a microphone, dog. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like I'm just that dude who just kind of showed up and then I'll just disappear.
And that's enough for you.
That's it, man. You know what I'm saying? Then you'll see my videos. YouTube will be on forever, so you'll always have videos to go look
at. You'll leave them wanting more. YouTube will not be the same.
And the thing is, though, you're not just on YouTube. There are people that have taken what you've done and shown appreciation to it and put it on sites like I mentioned before. They put it on their own personal sites. They say, this guy's really funny. This guy's great. This guy's awesome. He's real. And now you have fans that just, you know, they open up like t-shirt shops with like your catchphrases. With, like hit him with a freeze pop. Brother made a pizza. Stuff like that on a t-shirt. And people are buying them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be real with you. The t-shirts... I get a check for that. I'll be real. Like, this dude hit me up, and he was just like, look, man, because he contacted me 7 times. I kept deleting his message. He's like, look, can I just send you a check, and then just agree that we can make the shirts, and we'll give you a percentage of the shirts? And then I was like, well, how much is the check for? And then I seen the check, and I was like, nigga, you can do the fuck you want to for this. So I ain't gonna front on that. I mean, I let the motherfuckers send me money for the t-shirt, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when it come down to it, man, at the end of the day, this is some fun shit for me, you know what I'm saying? Just to let people in on my life. And then hopefully when I leave, man, somebody else will just, you know, that's the thing, man. It ain't nothing special what I do. It's a million other people just waiting to get their turn. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be no Tayson Day, like, flying to Hollywood. Like, the motherfucker made one song. You made one song, and niggas wasn't laughing with you. They were laughing at you. You got 40 million hits. Now you keep blogging about your, like, Hollywood experience. Like, nigga, go the fuck away, yo.
People talk about me, and it's pain chocolate rain.
I'll be singing that fucking song to his aunts and uncles until he's fucking 75 and they want to murder him. He's the worst.
Man.
You know what? Maybe it's the way to go. You have your flame and then you get poof, you're out. The wind blows and you're gone and your shit's still there and people remember and people are fans.
Frank
is a fan of yours. Germ Freak, my co-host. He is a new fan of yours.
It takes a lot for me to laugh and chuckle, but you do it every time. Each one of your videos does it every time.
He prides himself on not laughing. He's a real prick. Like, he'll go to a comedy show, sit there with a stone face just because he can. But I was on the phone with him. I'm like, we're going to have this guy on the show. You should check out his videos. And I hear from him the next day. He's like, I watched every one. And I watched some of them twice. The guy's amazing.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Well, I got a couple, like, you know, some of them are random. You know, like, when I came in my crib, that bug one, dude, when I came in my crib, I thought it was a mud stain on the vent that if you see in the video.
Yeah.
So I was like, no biggie, I'll clean that later. I wasn't even in the mood for that shit. And I came back 5 minutes later, and the fucking mud stain was 7 inches higher than what it was.
Yeah. I was actually surprised that you actually killed it on your wall because I was, you know, I thought you didn't want to mess the walls up, but you ended up cleaning it, you know, well anyway. But I thought maybe you would have got like a vacuum or sucked it up or something like that.
I was too nervous. I didn't know what it was going to do. It had wings and shit. And I was just like, man, what is this thing going to do? So I was even too nervous to really get my camera out, but I was like, maybe I should. Then I did it, and it was crazy because people don't believe me. Like, the Magic Wipes, I actually watched this white dude in a store like a year ago use them, and, like, I instantly knew to get it. It was like, yo, I got to get a Magic Wipe for this shit. I don't know, man. It's just... All my videos is random, but every once in a while I'll plan one. Like, I plan on doing it's going to be very late because I got to post that video about my court date is this Friday.
Okay.
Like, it's this Friday, so I'm hoping, like, I hope I win. If I don't win, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go crazy in this bitch. Like, it may get real angry in here, but if I do win, I'm going to post that video. And then the Valentine's Day thing, this one chick who's a big fan of mine, who has really big breasts, said that she wants to hang out with me for Valentine's Day. Oh, I mean, her breasts are huge. So I was like, hell yeah, can I bring my camera? She's like, yeah, you can bring your camera. I'm like, damn. So it may get crazy in the Motel 6 with this big-breasted YouTube chick. So I'm going to post that video, too.
So stay tuned. It's Mr. Shy City 3 on YouTube. And that's Shy, C-H-I for Chi-Town, Chicago. I had the privilege of visiting your fine city in September, and I honestly didn't want to go home. It's an amazing place.
Hey, man, if you ever come out here, man, holler at me. I'll take you around town.
Oh,
I'll take
motherfucker.
You to the real Chicago.
We're going
to
go. We're going to go. Yeah. Just, I am a bit of a suburban guy. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, hey, real talk, man. If you kick it, like, people in the hood know me. Like, real talk. You kicking it with me, you all good, man.
See, now, like, the minute I hear you say something like, see that sign that says rib tips? I'm like, no, I'm fucked up. No. I'm not going to be Clark Griswold asking for directions. And no, it's not going to happen. But I will. I swear to God, next time in Chicago, I'll bring Frank's bald ass. And we'll
Excuse
go.
Me?
And yeah, absolutely. We'll both go. And we'll give you a buzz.
Holla at me, man, all day.
We'll do. Now, Frank, when I was on the phone with him, he was asking, do you think we should ask him for a shout-out? You think we should ask him for a shout-out? See, that's the thing. He's kind of new to this. He's trying to level with his kids, and he thinks shout-out is still a valid term. Like it's a fucking, dance mix radio station, and we're going to get a shout-out from you.
Dude, yeah, oh, you mean like what, over the phone, man?
Yeah, I don't know. And Frank, what did you mean by that? You wanted to be on the phone or what?
I think it would be perfect on the phone.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah, all day. I'll do it.
What's your name? You were going to say, what's your name, weren't you? Ah! Oh, man. Mr. Shy City. That's Mr. Shy City 3 on YouTube. Check him out. He's going to be posting some crazy Valentine's Day shit. And you got to see all those other videos. He's a tremendous, tremendous guy. Mr. Shy City, man.
What up, man?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling in. Good to finally talk to you.
No problem, homeboy. It's all good. It's my pleasure, man. All
righty.
Thank you. Good night, sir.
Have a good night. Mr. Shah City, man. Guy's a fucking... The guy can talk. The guy I just wanted to sit here and just hear the guy fucking talk. I feel like we got, free content. we got his bootleg tapes right now. The Mr. Shy City bootlegs coming in soon. It's the DJ New Style Show. We're going to take a quick break here. It's Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Sit back, relax, and partake in another Jack Session.
Hey, everybody. How are you? This is Jack Francone, host of Jack Sessions. Thank you for coming. This is the first and only podcast dedicated to masturbation techniques. God, it's so good to have all you here. This is going to be a short one, though, tonight. We're not going to do the full fucking hour. This is a short one here, because I'm going to come right out there and say it. I am officially done with jerking off. I've had it up to here. You're looking at me like I'm an asshole. You're grabbing your fucking iPods and like, what the fuck? Listen, I just can't even picture my fucking self using any of my masturbation techniques, award-winning masturbation techniques, after making what can only be described as the most wise and intelligent purchase of my entire fucking life. I mean, you're sitting there, you're probably, hey, this guy's got a reasonably successful jerk-off podcast. I mean, what could he possibly... If you said in your mind, if you said it in your mind, foam rubber woman torso, then boom, you're a fucking winner. Put a sticker on your forehead and, well, we ain't got no fucking prizes here. See, you know, the show's fucking broke now. I mean, I stole from my wife. I emptied my son Jimmy's college fund about it, but it's so fucking worth it. But, you know, there's a few things you need to look out for when you're buying your very own foam rubber woman torso. Because as they say, the partially realistic foam fuck toy game is fickle and very much buyer beware. So do your homework. The first thing you got to look out for, this is the most obvious, holes. One listener emailed me saying how he dropped $2,000 on hips. Just the fucking hips, and he didn't even get an anus. The next thing I always look for, you know, I like to look for this, is color. Because let's face it, who wants to fuck a piece of gray foam? I could step out in that fucking garage and fuck 2 or 3 Dell boxes. It's the same fucking thing. I like my foam torsos to be peachy toned or fucking flesh colored. At the very least, African black. Because I want this fucking torso to look like it could have actually belonged to some really attractive woman who would have no idea, no intention, or even fucking desire of letting a guy who has a jerk-off podcast throw his dick in it. There really isn't much else. I mean, you know, make sure you don't go too fucking cheap. Make sure you got holes. You know, make sure you got some kind of fucking paint, a dye, a spray job, or whatever the fuck. And, you know, make sure it's not just a fucking sponge, because the fucking thing will get so waterlogged it'll look like you're fucking someone Ted Kennedy put his cock into in the 1960s. And after you're done trying to scrape your loser jizz off with a garden hose or whatever the fuck, you know, it's gonna be too heavy for you to even lift up. And there goes your fine sex toy purchase. Down the fucking drain. May as well wash the fucking car with pieces of it. But in closing, remember this. You don't need legs, you don't need a face, you don't need head or hair, nothing. Tits are nice, don't get me wrong, I like tits, but seriously, who gives a fuck? Do yourself a favor, empty your joint accounts, talk your kid out of that college bullshit, tell him to learn a fucking trade. Get yourself your very own foam rubber woman torso, or at least the fucking hips, but get an anus. This is Jack Francone, and you've listened to Jack Sessions. Thank you very much.
Hello, anonymous internet. I'm DJ New Style. Nice to meet you, bitches.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. It's DJNewStyleShow.com. Download all of our shows. Keep them on whatever thing you carry to hear MP3s on. iPod, Zoom, Diamond Rio, you old fuck, why don't you upgrade? You cunt. Germ Freak probably has a Diamond Rio. Did you have a nice break there, Frank?
Yeah,
I'm coming
actually
down from the Chasside High right now. That was a great call.
Yes.
I would hope he calls in again, but you know, if he quits the game, as they say, he may not. He might not. Let's see what this is. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this? Yeah, no go, buddy. No go. Frank, we prepare for the show, but that's not the extent of our time together. We're friends. We hang out. I fix computers for you. Is that correct?
Yes, you do.
When was the last time you'd say that I fixed your computers?
Were you last Thursday?
Yeah. So basically, you decided that I would help you out, and I would help you out, fix your computer, because something happened, you had a blue screen, you didn't know what to do, but you wanted to meet up and eat dinner.
Well, I had to eat, because the woman wasn't cooking that night.
So you wanted something really good. So what was the place that you suggested? No, you said, I want to go to a good place. I don't want to go to a diner, I want to go to a good place.
Yeah, a good place. And we went to a very good place called Houlihan's.
Oh, fantastic. Houlihan's. Everything that's fantastic and amazing about an eatery, basically. You get a fake Irish name. You get a nice,
you know, mediocre food from, you know,
somebody. I thought it was very enjoyable.
It was terrible. It was terrible. But that's not what we're talking about, Frank. Did you notice that there was something a little bit weird? A little bit weird. We had our meals. And our, first of all, our waiter.
The waitress. Go ahead.
No. Our waiter was a trainee.
Trainee, yes.
And as a trainee, he had to have somebody supervising his work. Somebody right. had to stand by and watch him.
Yes.
I ordered my meal. You started ordering yours. And as soon as you started fumbling with the pages, she rolled her eyes as high as an eye can be rolled ever in somebody's skull. That's what she did.
So you say.
No, I saw it. I saw it. And from that point, when she left, our food order is heading to the kitchen. I said, Frank, she fucking rolled her eyes as soon as he asked you what you wanted and you flipped the page. Her eyes. And you said, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something to her.
I was going to make a scene.
You were so pissed.
Ken told me to calm down and not do anything about it.
I said, you know what? You probably shouldn't. We don't have our food yet. That's one of our rules. You get your food before you complain.
Exactly.
But no, you were, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something to him. Every time she walked by, I'm going to get up. I'm going to say something. And at that point, I just decided to stop catering to your bullshit. And I said, this is bullshit, Frank. You're a fucking pussy.
You called me a pussy.
You're a pussy. Because you kept saying you're going to do something, and it didn't get done.
I didn't
and
have
whenever,
the nerve.
Whenever that's something that you're going to do or say doesn't get done, when it's something tough, that makes you a fucking pussy. You caved.
I didn't have the nerve.
You caved, and you didn't have the nerve.
On top of that,
the crown on your pussydom at this night at a fucking Houlihan's, which you before you told me what it was, you marked it up like it was some kind of a fucking 4-star restaurant. Fucking Houlihan's we're going to go to. I'm like, I just want to go to a diner. I just want to get a cheeseburger. No, we're going to go somewhere better.
No.
Fucking Houlihan's.
I just didn't feel like going to a fucking diner.
Any fucking restaurant with a spiral notebook for fucking drinks and desserts is not a fucking
fancy
restaurant.
They have delicious French onion soup, which I very much enjoyed, and they have a delicious Caesar salad.
Terrible.
Absolutely what I did was you also made fun of me for printing the menu up and studying it before I got there as well.
Well, that's the thing. You said I'm going to study the menu. I printed it out and I'm reading it, and I'm going to choose what I want before I get there. So
that,
I guess you're going to save time.
Yes.
But the fact is, I'm eating too. So what time are you saving? You're going to sit there and fucking play with your dick while I'm picking out a goddamn shitty chicken wrap at a fucking Houlihan's? Eat
that's
shit, Frank. That place sucks.
That you. They have a lot of these chain restaurants now have menus online. You could check out the menu before you go there so you don't waste time. The less time I sit eating across from you, the better. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that. The thing is, you want to say you want to make it less awkward, less gay, right? You think it's a little gay to sit across from somebody in a booth, another man?
It's teetering on it. It's teetering on it.
So now,
what we did at the end was a bit of a clincher.
My thing is, the meal is over. We've consumed our dishes. You had like 15 courses. Fucking salad, soup.
I had a salad, a side salad, French onion soup, and my entree.
Yeah, and then after that, I just had an entree, like a fucking human. And I said, you know what? I needed something a little bit extra. Can I see the dessert menu? And, oh, God, I can't believe this. Like I made you into some kind of an involuntary homosexual, but I wanted to eat some kind of a piece of cake with my dinner.
It wasn't what the kind of, it was the particular kind of cake you
but
wanted.
But the thing
eat.
Is, you started this as soon as I said I wanted to see the menu. And then, not even thinking, although it was a great move because it pissed you off, I chose the cheesecake. You said, you can't get the cheesecake. That's
right.
What you said to me, exactly.
Now, if you remember...
You can't get the cheesecake.
If
it's
you
gay.
Remember,
it's
two
gay.
Weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we did an Is It Gay? Is it gay for a guy to eat cheesecake?
Yeah, well...
And you...
I declined on that. I said, it's not gay, because I enjoy cheesecake, and I know I'm not a gay guy. But the thing is, Frank, as soon as our trainee waiter came by to our table, not tranny, but trainee, with his accomplice that hates you and you back down from, I ordered my dessert, And to me, I thought it would be pretty obvious by your reaction that you wouldn't get anything. I said, I'll have a cup of coffee and I'll have a strawberry cheesecake. And you said, I'll have the exact same, except no coffee. Like, you didn't want to say cheesecake. You had to say the exact same, but you still had to make exclusions. Why did you get cheesecake, Frank?
Well, I didn't want you to feel awkward eating the cheesecake, so I felt obliged to get a piece myself.
And when I say strawberry cheesecake, I'm not talking about a pink slice of cheesecake. It's a cheesecake with a fucking strawberry on the side.
Right.
It comes with a dick to shove in your ass. It's a fucking a piece of fruit. It's
right,
got
right,
a nice plump strawberry on the side.
Right, but what we were doing was we were actually across from each other eating cheesecake. And I felt very ashamed and awkward. What was worse was
You felt awkward eating cheesecake across from me. I was eating my cheesecake, not paying attention to you. You were watching me, obviously.
And then on the plate, they gave us each a whole strawberry as part of our dessert. Are you aware of that?
I ate it. I just described it. So, yeah, well, I think I'm aware of it.
But it was kind of awkward when we both picked up our respective strawberries and bit them while facing each other. It was a little awkward.
The thing about that, as I said before, I wasn't noticing what you were doing, but apparently you were in some kind of a homosexual synchronized dessert competition. I didn't know that you were trying to fucking synchronize every dessert movement with mine so that you'd fucking crunch into the strawberry the same instant that I did. So that my lips and your lips would be fucking pursed just inches away. Fucking disgusting. You make this big stink about how getting dessert is gay. And now you fucking basically mirror my movements by ordering the same thing and timing yourself so that you finish at the same point that I do.
I think I finished the cheesecake a little sooner than you, but...
Veal Chop is in the Heroes Talk room. That's HeroesTalk.com. He's our number one poster on Heroes Talk, the forums, Radio Bronze fans. And he's also one of the hosts of The Awful Hour, which we will air tomorrow night on Heroes Talk. He says, sharing a strawberry experience is kind of gay. Now, he called it a strawberry experience.
That's exactly what it was.
Since when is eating a strawberry and not, you know, like... People eat strawberries all over. If a guy happens to eat one in front of you, does that automatically pull you into a strawberry experience?
Well, Ken, do you remember we had an Is It Gay question? I believe it was on the night of 101 podcast. Is it gay for two guys to eat ice cream together? Remember that question?
I remember it. And guess what? We both said it was gay.
Okay, I think the same holds true for a strawberry.
You know what? I think that's fine, Frank. And you know who made it gay?
Me?
You did. You did. You made it gay. But let me tell you about someone who's not gay. Someone who is an outstanding individual. Someone creative. Someone who's done more with their lives than we'll ever do. His name is Jerry. Jerry Lehane. And he's on the phone right now, joining the DJ New Style show with Germ Freak. Jerry, how are you tonight?
Good. It's good to hear you.
It's good
that
to find.
That guy was really funny before.
He was. He was Mr. Shy City on YouTube. Now, Jerry, forgive me, but I'm not exactly sure why I should know you. I know that you've done a lot of things that I might be familiar with, but can you bring me up to speed with some of the things that you've accomplished in your life?
Yeah, most of the stuff that that I'm not famous for, people have seen in the media and not known that it was my work or derived from my original concept, because I'm what's called a ghostwriter.
So you are...
Yeah, you want,
you're a ghostwriter.
A ghostwriter.
Yes.
And most of my best work... I'm 51 now. I live in Delaware. Most of my best work was done in 1987. I was 29. So it takes a long time for some of it to see the light of day. And
sometimes you
just never know if it will ever see the light of day.
So you've conceived these creative works that we would know. Things that we would know, if you said them, people would be shocked to hear that you were behind them.
Yeah, they would have no clue that they weren't written or conceived by someone who is anonymous, basically.
Can you give us some examples, sir?
Yeah, sure. Most of the readers, listeners, podcasters have heard of Star Trek, Mars Rovers.
Star Trek.
Tom
wait,
Petty,
no, hold on, hold on.
Howard Stern.
Wait. So you
start too quick.
See, when you said Star Trek Mars Rovers, I thought you were talking about maybe a particular episode of a Star Trek show, but you're actually naming two specific things. You invented the Mars Rover, and you wrote Star Trek.
Yeah, and when I say I ghostwrote for Star Trek, it was in 87 before Star Trek The Next Generation came out. So let's say it's about January of 87. I see a magazine called Starlog, and I see that a new Star Trek is coming out. And I'm an old fan from the 60s, so I look at the characters in the picture, and I read the article, and I derive things from that, spin off, and start making notes and start making drawings.
So what
and get them to the creator of Star Trek, who is Gene Roddenberry.
So now, what were some of your contributions to Star Trek?
Okay, I created Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Voyager, Babylon 5, and certain aspects of Star Trek Next Generation, like the Borg, and certain characters like my alter ego, which is Miles O'Brien. I chose him because he looks like me.
So you've created an entire race in addition to two television series. For Star
Trek. Just the kernel of what they were supposed to be about.
The overall, like an outline, a plan.
Yeah, an outline, shorthand, skeleton, bare bones, notes, you know, so, on loose leaf paper. No whole scripts, you know, so it's I'm an imitator.
You're an idea man. Exactly.
Yeah.
You came up with the plan, you brought it to someone who you knew could get the job done. And the product speaks for itself.
Think of it this way. There's a lot of Ron and Fez listeners out there. I would be like the Dave guy that comes in and pitches ideas.
Yeah.
And not the Ron guy who's in control of things.
No. So you're saying that Dave is the guy who is ghostwriting for Ron and Fez.
Well, he's not ghostwriting. He's an active writer that's hired and all that. But just to put it in people's mind what my role is,
you're not the face. You're not the face of it. People don't know you, but you set it in motion.
And when I was in college in 82, I decided that what would I give up to get my ideas to the mass audience? I'm talking millions of people. And I said I would give up everything, that is money, credit, royalties, my name on it, and I would even be accused of lying that I had created it because other people were being paid for my work because... They did the finishing of the product and presentation to the audience.
So now, Frank, imagine this. Imagine a guy so secure in his creations that all he wants to do is have them be enjoyed. That he gives up everything. The writing credits and everything.
Everything.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. I think it shows that you are no doubt generous.
I want to get to some
of the other things that you are part of as well. You mentioned Tom Petty and Howard Stern. What did you? What was your situation with them?
Well, let me back up. When I did, I will get to that. When I did the Roddenberry stuff, I knew that for me to get my stuff to NASA, I would have to go through Roddenberry because the people in NASA idolized Roddenberry for bringing Star Trek in the 60s. And
so, wait, can I stop you a second?
You described
creating a skeleton storyline for several Star Trek series.
Right.
And now, I guess in the midst of creating this, you came up with ideas that NASA could use.
Yeah, exactly.
And rather than... You know, and basically you were willing to accept defeat in the fact that they wouldn't accept these ideas from you.
I was and still am an unknown artist. So for someone to present my work for me 3,000 miles away when I'm a kid in Delaware with good ideas, I need someone to present them that's going to get noticed. So he had their full attention, and I knew that.
All right.
Likewise, you remember the Alien movies? Well, I was very jealous of I'm a big horror movie fan. very jealous of the Alien movies and thought they were the top of it back in the, you know, when they came out, and I decided I want a piece of that, so I created the antithesis of the alien called the Predator and gave him a real ugly, like, weird face.
Yeah.
This giant. Yeah, you've seen Predator. So
I absolutely have. I'm stunned because it's one of my favorite movies. Now, to actually be able to speak to somebody who is behind this movie, I'm flabbergasted.
I'm honored just to speaking with you. I mean, right, the creativity.
It's just the idea, and I couldn't do anything with it myself. I'm stuck, you know, with what I can do, which is draw and create.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not.
You're a talented man. There's no question about this. But now but what I do have a question about is you gave up all the credit, you gave up all the notoriety, the limelight, being known for these things, but now you're telling people that you've done them. What do you have to gain by doing that now when your creations have already come about? Why don't you just stay silent and let your creations speak for themselves and sit back satisfied?
It's the bragging rights and also the philosophy that one job will get you 10, that if you go ahead and do something and it's good and it's loved by the, you know, the creators and the audience, then they would get, you'd eventually get hired. Now, the thing is,
you gave up you were willing to give up the bragging rights, and you've decided to become a ghostwriter, writing on behalf of someone who was going to take the fame. So now how can you come and claim that? I'm not
because you're not letting me finish.
I'm sorry. Jerry, let me just say
this. I sent more ideas to Paramount, and they wouldn't even open my ideas. After they had made millions of dollars on my ideas, they wouldn't even open my ideas when I sent them the front doorway. Now, what I did was I went beforehand in the back doorway to get my ideas to the right people. But going in the way that everybody is supposed to do it, you see, present it as, you know, you just mail it to the Paramount, then they send it back unopened because they're afraid to open it for lawyers.
So now you've not only done movies and TV, but you've done music.
Music, yeah, tons.
Okay, now Frank, are you aware of this? You mentioned something about Tom Petty, Frank?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tom Petty. You're affiliated with him somehow?
Yeah, I ghostwrote for Tom Petty. The stuff that you would know was after 87, I did nothing for him before 87.
Could you give us some of the song names, please?
I'll give you whole CDs. These CDs were written by me and sung by me on tape, on 4-track tape, in April of 87. And they started in 87 was Full Moon Fever, except for the one Birds cover, Into the Great Wide Open, complete, Echo, complete, Wildflowers, complete, and some songs on the best of the greatest hits, which was Last Dance with Mary Jane. And the Traveling Wilburys first album.
So you wrote this song?
Complete. Let me hear it.
Okay, there you go.
That's what I wrote, yeah.
Yeah. It's a masterpiece.
I gave them the idea for using Kim Basinger as the corpse in the video, so I gave him instructions for that video.
I think that was a perfect choice.
I gotta tell you, when I was a child of maybe, I don't know, when did that come out, Jerry?
It was written 87, didn't come out to 95, and I actually I reprimanded him in 94. I said, "What's wrong? That's a great song. Why did you put that out?"
95? What are you talking about? This was out in 87.
No. It was not out. Well, at least not here in 87 on disc.
I remember the video. Do you think that... When did this come out? Frank, do you have any idea when that came out? You're the guy.
I thought it was the early 90s, but Jerry would know better than I would. Jerry, what is your affiliation with Howard Stern?
Huh.
Howard Stern, I ghostwrote in 93, 90 to 95. I sent... tapes to Jackie the Joke Man.
I see.
And
did he take your credit?
I give them show ideas. I gave him ideas for the book, the movie, the E Channel show, and
the interview, the Howard Stern interview. Is that what you're referring to?
Say that again?
The Howard Stern interview on E, is that what you're referring to? You create, you were the creator of that?
The show. Oh. Like I was a fan of the Channel 9 show.
Right, I remember the Channel 9 show.
Right, and I asked them, wouldn't they like to go to the Comedy Channel? You know, and this is on tape, so I have to wait a week for a response because they can listen to the tape. So I listened to the response, and Howard was blowing me off, saying that Channel 9 didn't pay, I'm sorry, that the Comedy Channel didn't pay shit, so he would never go on there.
Really?
Because he had gone around the bases with those people and figured out what kind of deal, because he wanted to go on television, but he was kind of stopped cold by, what was it, one of those multi-billionaires that was in the media, not Redstone, but another guy.
No, wait, no,
gave him the thumbs down.
Now, what you're describing here sounds a little different from the Gene Roddenberry thing. Gene Roddenberry seems to have embraced your ideas, and Howard Stern seems to have stolen them. He said he wouldn't do it, and now you're saying this is the best move, and then he does it.
Well,
that seems like theft.
I was more trying to get hired by Howard Stern, so I figured that was a well worth effort for a long term thing. Whereas the one shot deal was just mailing off the stuff to Roddenberry and NASA. But no, I actively courted trying to get a job with Stern, and he would just never hire me. So
Jerry, did you get to meet Stuttering John Melendez?
Yeah, I met him twice.
What did he say to you?
He actually came like within a football field from my house in a restaurant, and they did a comedy gig just before he got the Jay Leno show.
Wow.
Yeah, he was going around with, what's that guy, the older guy, doing a comedy routine. Jeez, just escaped.
George Burns?
No.
Red Buttons.
He goes on Stern regularly.
Yeah, Red Buttons it was.
The guy that runs the bunch of comedians, and they go out and tour.
Rodney Dangerfield?
No.
Milton, no, you know who it was? It was Milton Berle.
No, the name escapes me. Bob.
Oh, Henny Youngman. Henny Youngman. Hope? Henny Youngman. Frank, had to be Henny Youngman.
But anyway, he's a regular on the Stern Show. But, yeah, I met Melendez, and I met Fred and Jackie and Bob Bowie.
Really?
Here's the weirdest part of it all.
Okay.
And probably the most unbelievable. I set up Jackie and Fred on the Howard Stern Show back in 82.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Listen to this, yeah. Because Fred and Jackie were in a car going to a comedy gig in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm in Newark, Delaware, but I was then living at my parents' house in Wilmington. So I was on a CB radio, and I heard that out there they were looking for directions for this comedy gig. And I go, hi, and he goes, Jackie the Joke Man, we're looking for directions. And I go, Jackie the Joke Man, you do comedy? You a stand-up comic? He goes, yeah. How do you get to this comedy club in Wilmington? So I go, well, I'll tell you, but, you know, I'll just take your time. So I asked him, hey, what's your name? And he goes, Jackie Martling. And I go, Martling, is that a Jewish name? Because I figure a lot of comedians are Jewish. You have to figure, 82, I'm in my early 20s.
And you're busting his balls.
So anyway, I figured I'd tell him about Howard Stern in Washington, D.C. because of that bridge crash of the airplane. Howard got some press out of that, and I turned around, and I asked Fred what he did, and he did carts and all that. And, so I told him, well, listen, there's this guy down in D.C. named Howard Stern, and I couldn't remember Howard's name, so I go, yeah, like Howard the Duck. And I go, Stern, and I think it's a Jewish name or a German name, one or the other. So I'd never heard him, okay? I'd only read about him in the Washington Post.
Wow.
Right? But the Washington Post said shock jock, and that interested me, you know, greatly. Because I figured anybody daring enough to do a plane crash joke, you know, at the time, this guy's got balls, so he's going to New York. He's going to the top radio market. So I go, now, listen, you don't have to go down to D.C. or anything. Just wait till he comes to New York in a year. Just give him a year. You're from Long Island, right? I hear your accent.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, how'd you know? You know, I went to school with a guy named from Long Island. Yeah,
now,
same accent.
And so these are fabulous stories. These are incredible tales of success and all that. you obviously have your detractors. When they approach you, do you just sing one of the hits you've written for Tom Petty? That you won't back, well, you won't back down. Jerry, will you back down?
Yeah, I wrote that. I wrote it in the school bus.
Really?
I drove a school bus. Here's the whole key to it. My family is kind of rich, owning a school bus company, so I was forced to drive school buses. From early age. Out of high school, I drove school buses. Once I got out of high school, I turned around and had to drive school buses for that high school. So, you see, I was forced into a thankless job, so I started writing songs.
So what do you do? What do you do for a living right now?
Landscaping mostly. That's painting, house painting.
Imagine that, Frank. What a kick!
What a kick
to the balls! A guy writes everything Tom Petty ever did since '87, and he's picking
genius,
out.
You are creative. You are,
and he has to pick out fucking ground cover for people now.
Your generosity blows me away.
I don't have the mentality to be a front guy.
No, of course not.
Kind of pressure.
You're a yes man behind the scenes. You make things happen, but now. Unfortunately,
the only thing you make happen now, though, is lilac
shrubs.
This infection reminds me of Mars rovers.
Mars rovers, Jerry. Mars rovers. What did you have to do with that?
I designed those.
Really?
From scratch.
Which one? The one that we lost.
I imitated the Russian lunar rovers. They
did
had
you
eight wheels. The Russians sent lunar rovers in the 60s and 70s, and their manned missions kind of failed pretty much, so they just stuck to robots.
Yeah.
When you say you started this from scratch, do you mean like in your bedroom you tried it out, or in your garage?
Yeah, in on loose leaf paper, drawing.
You're kind
was it
like
a legal pad?
No, it was loose leaf paper. I write
it was white paper. It was white paper.
So you made a blueprint for a Mars rover on notebook college rule paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
a blueprint.
But listen, when you ripped the paper out of the notebook, did you take that little fringe off of it, or did you just keep it on there?
Well,
was it a neat sheet? Five star.
You know. But anyway, there is life on Mars. There's people. I can send people pictures of people, animals, and fossils because I've decoded the pictures since 2004. And a lot of people can't see them because they're not an artist. They don't see, recognize shapes and have good pattern recognition. But
now
the cover-up has been going on for over 30 years. They knew when the Vikings... 1976 landed.
Hold on. Because I'm a little slow, you just mentioned the fact you designed an intensely complicated device to observe Mars.
Not to me complicated.
In a trapper keeper. And now you're saying that you've discovered that there was life on Mars.
Yeah, because it was only in 99 that I got...
That's impossible, Jerry! It's impossible!
Did you ever murder any Nazis?
Well, I knew it's a lot for you to handle, so I figured I'd whip out the easy stuff first. But yes, there is life on Mars.
What kind of life?
The Mars...
Like the game life? Did you bring a board game on one of the rovers?
It's just the glorified Hot Wheels that I was designing.
You know, Jerry... I played with Matchbox cars. They're very similar to Hot Wheels. My favorite was the green station wagon. It had the doors that opened up.
That's true. I used to play with the equivalent to a Chevy Beretta Matchbox car. And I also, I invented the space shuttle by playing with that as a kid.
But when I was little, my toys, when they would like kind of get tired of them, I would break them to see how they worked and open them up and make sure.
Holy shit! Me too.
How the things worked.
Me too. One time I
put a lightning bug flew into the green station wagon and it's there ever since.
It's true. And while Frank didn't take that experience and invent anything great, I took my Chevy Beretta Matchbox car, took it apart just like you described, and I invented the space shuttle. I mean, I fucked up with Challenger, sure. I mean, who's going to blow a gasket? I mean, you know, I thought it would be fun.
Here's the thing about the space shuttle. we shouldn't even be building rockets to go out there because we already, here's the difference. The Black Ops NASA gets most of the budget and the scientific NASA gets screwed.
So wait, are you shitting on the space shuttle? You saying it's a bad thing?
Yeah, it's
oh, sure. Sure, no, Jerry. Your rover's awesome. My space shuttle's shit.
Well,
you know, Ken, I think you're missing the point here, Ken.
If you would listen for a second, I could explain.
Exactly.
You've seen and heard of UFOs. UFOs don't use rockets. What do UFOs use? Gravity. So we just have to back engineer, and we already have back engineered that stuff, but it's not released to the public. So while we're killing people in these overgrown rockets, they have the technology already to get us into space using anti-gravity, like the UFOs, because we back-engineer them.
Did you come up with that?
So we're wasting human lives and money on all that rocketry.
Yeah, but did you come up with that?
No, I'm just rehashing what's been already out there on the net.
See, you peaked at 28, Jerry. You came up with a Mars rover.
I peaked at 30.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But the thing is, you peaked already. You're 50 years of age, and you haven't come up with anything great like anti-gravity.
Okay, well, you're musical, and I'll get back to your world. Here's some of the other artists.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Wait.
You say my world. What are you referring to? What is my world?
The Stones, Stone Temple Pilots, Soul Asylum.
Soul Asylum? You're actually going to take credit for that?
Run away, train.
Yeah, we're going back. Wrong way on a one-way track. Seems like I should be getting somewhere.
Yeah,
but I can't because it's all a big lie.
That was one of the few that I actually handed it to them on stage. Most of the artists, I never meet them. But at the time, I went to Philly to see Soul Asylum live. And at the end of the night, I handed them that tape with three songs, which are on the same album. And then later on, I sent them Misery Loves Company through the mail.
Really?
Did you ever write anything for Nirvana?
Well, that's a funny thing you brought up.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this is going to hit you in the heart.
Did Kurt in the mouth.
Okay, Kurt. this is the reality. Kurt's real name was O'Connor, okay? An Irish guy like me, O'Connor, O-C-O-N-N-O-E-R, whatever. But the first two letters, O-C, right?
Okay.
My friend went out to meet him. I said, give these guys the idea for grunge. I had it written down. I had it laid out.
Stop it! Stop this!
And
stop
they
it!
Asked,
stop!
They said,
stop!
So, hold on! I can't fucking do this! You didn't create grunge.
It comes from garage. It comes from the word garage. And
you fucked Tom Petty over
grungy,
then. You had a conflict of interest when you created grunge.
Guitar.
You fucked Tom and you fucked NASA.
Dirty guitar.
You shouldn't split grunge, time, dirty, Jerry. You don't split time when
guitar.
You got clients. You work for one
guitar.
And then you work for the next.
Grungy, dirty. Okay, so now that you're listening, I took
Damn!
The word... I took the OC and turned it backwards to give him a stage name.
Co?
Which is C-O, okay? Cocaine, Cobain, see? It was originally
How
Cocaine.
The fuck? Hold on a minute, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
So I said Cobain, right?
So you're saying that you took two letters from his name, reversed them.
Turned them backwards.
Mentioned a random drug that he may have done, and then decided...
Yeah. Even though you guys decided not
Cobain!
To listen to me, I figured I would get that out. So at least
no, wait,
the rest
wait.
Of the
Jerry,
talkers
Jerry,
could
Jerry,
see
Jerry,
what
Jerry,
I was
Jerry,
at.
Jerry, Jerry.
Did you create The Hustle?
Shut the fuck up, Frank. The Hustle. Just because you want a song from when you were 18 to
okay,
be mentioned.
And my stipulation was that they write me each a song. So Nirvana wrote me a song that didn't come out until many years later. And it was called You Know You're Right, because I said, I would never bother you. And I said, my name rhymes with Spokane. Spokane.
Really?
It's Jerry. Listen to me.
Oh, I'm listening. I'm shocked.
My name is Jerry, and officially Jeremiah, but those are not good lyrics. Jeremy is a good lyric, so there's Jeremy. Jeremy Spokane. Jeremy has spoken.
Wow. That's amazing, because that's Pearl Jam,
See?
And not
it's
Nirvana.
That simple.
Yes.
And they called me a little fuck.
But the thing is, you mentioned Nirvana and then Jeremy.
They're calling me a little fuck. That's
Jeremy was fucking Pearl Jam.
That says it all.
No, it does. Yeah, it does say it all. You have the wrong band.
Ken, what's your problem? He spit it out. Everything he said is truthful.
I don't know. I'm just a little jealous. I mean,
you created an entire movement.
Okay,
Jerry.
Okay. Listen, Jerry. And Jerry, I met up with Nirvana. I was friends with Dave Grohl for a little while, very little while. I wanted to play a prank on them. I broke into them while they were playing poker. I broke into their house. I had a ski mask on. They started freaking out. I'm like, no, guys, I swear, I don't have a gun. And they're like, aha, aha. And then they started writing. And as you know, there was a song right there. It was a hit song.
Well, my friend said that those guys, both bands, were just assholes to him. And he had the original concept for the cheerleaders and the video of one song called...
Yeah.
Smells Like Teen Spirit. He didn't write the song. He just had the concept.
What was the concept?
Cheerleaders.
Where did he get
it? Teen Spirit. That smells like...
An albino, a mosquito.
And smells like. And he explained it to me.
Yeah.
And I had to ask him twice, what are you talking about? Can you explain that again?
Yeah.
He goes, you know, like cheerleaders. You know, when you're in high school and you go to pep rallies and they have all these rah-rahs jumping around and stuff.
Yeah.
And I go,
so,
yeah, what?
You know, like... that
teen spirit.
That reminds me of something, Jerry.
We're mocking teen spirit.
We're both creative types. I remember back in, like, 93... I was at home. I had just discovered masturbation, 13 years old, a little bit late. And I started doing it so much that eventually...
Barry Manilow.
No.
I named him Barely Man Enough.
No. I'm talking to you. Jerry.
Grunge came from the 70s.
Jerry, I'm talking to you.
But I couldn't get it to the right people.
Who the fuck are you talking to? Jerry. Does Jerry hear me?
I can't hear you on the phone for some reason.
Well, the thing...
I hear you saying Jerry.
Yeah, okay, then you can hear me. The thing is, Jerry, in 93, I'm sitting there, well, I just discovered...
Let me turn my speakers up 1 second.
Oh, my God.
It'll be delayed.
Okay, so I'm sitting home, just discovered masturbation. I start doing it so much, I'm like, God, I really gotta stop doing this, because, you know, masturbation is starting to lose its fun, and I'm fucking breaking here. And my buddy, Billy Joel, says, wait, Billy Joe Armstrong says, say that again? And I go, masturbation is losing its fun. I'm fucking breaking.
Hey, Jerry.
And then the next thing you know,
Jerry.
Dookie comes out.
Don't worry, you're not losing control.
Oh,
lower your volume, Jerry.
Hold on, Jerry, call right back, okay? Call right back,
okay.
Please. Please.
Go ahead.
Call right back.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Thank you. He's going to call right back.
Are we taking phone calls for Jerry or no?
Well, we certainly are. Don't
because
worry.
Some people would love to rip him a new a-hole.
Yeah, don't worry. We're working on this here. Frank, I believe him. I certainly believe the guy. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Which is
Well, you were getting a little testy with him.
I do doubt. Yeah. Well, what do you think of him?
I think he's the real deal.
That's it? That's all you have on this?
Let's wait till he gets back, please. At what point are you going to ask him if he's certifiable?
Pretty soon. He's listening right now. But the thing is, I'm just a commoner. I'm just your average Joe. I don't know shit about this.
He says he got voicemail.
Well, I'm starting up the phones again. I need to absorb all of this information. I really do. I need to absorb this. This is quite an interesting thing. You never have somebody that has created so much of the stuff that you love, you know, on the phone with you. You're never able to talk to these people. The things that you are able to connect to, the things that you've grown up with, the things that you've turned to when you're going through emotional rough patches. You know, Frank, do you have any fucking opinion on anything, or is it going to be dead air?
The problem with Jerry is he's a genius who does not realize he's a genius, and he's not taking advantage of his multi-million-dollar status.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a call.
Yes.
I'm trying to call him.
This phone is busy right now. Please press 2 to leave a message for Carl DeMasgrove.
Oh, whoa! Whoa! For who? Holy shit. Wow. I did not mean for that to happen. Holy shit. Hey, Jerry, you want to call back, buddy? Wow. That's not good. Oh, man, fuck it. If he calls in, right. Frank, if he calls in, he calls in. He created a lot of stuff.
He created the grunge movement. He created bits for the Stern Show. He created Tom Petty music. He created Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, Skype is fucked up. It's all right. Jerry, just keep trying to call. I don't know, Frank. I don't know. You go out to eat. You go out to eat with me. And it's
what a transition.
Let's not dwell on it. You go out to eat with me, and it's some kind of a big ordeal. You think everything's fucking gay. But now you go out to eat with Ed. Where did you go?
I went out to eat with Ed the Masturbator McGrath. We went all the way to fucking the Bronx for a goddamn burger.
The Bronx.
The Bronx, New York.
You're both from New Jersey.
That's true.
We don't have hamburgers in New Jersey?
He said that this was the best hamburger that he's ever
seen.
Okay,
so start me from the top. What goes on? You guys meet up? You drive in the same car?
We met up. First, as you know, Ed doesn't mind me saying this. Ed is in a high-risk category as he has unprotected anal sex with prostitutes.
Yes.
So I was a little leery of going into his car. So I had to bring plastic coverings and latex gloves because I didn't want to sit in his car.
All right. Well, joining the show right now, Ed McGrath and Jerry Lehane. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm flabbergasted to be in the company of such a prolific inventor of things.
Well, I'm sure that someone who has, offered such insight to Tom Petty, he's had a good burger in his day. Jerry, are you no stranger to a decent burger?
Oh yeah, I'll take a burger. I had two steaks and a pizza today.
Did you invent the hamburger?
No.
Well, I mean, you laugh.
I think what I'll do is I'll let you talk to Ed for a while, and then I'll call you back later.
No. I want you to stay on.
Maybe Ed could call us back.
I want you to stay on for a second, and I want Ed to stay on as well, because, quite frankly, I don't think it's a strange question to ask somebody if they invented the hamburger after they just tell me they wrote every hit song I've ever heard.
I just wait until you want me to talk.
I want you to talk.
I'll talk to you later.
No. I want you to talk.
Sorry, when you tried to call before, I put the phone on the hook the wrong way, so it
Jerry?
Got you a busy signal. And
what a bad move for a guy who invented the Mars rover. Can't even hang up a phone right. But Jerry, what's going on? Why do you do this? Can you?
Okay, you do you want answers, or you just want to talk over to me?
Here's what I want to ask you. Here's what I ask you. Do you really believe that anybody is going to believe that you've created and you've done all these things? Do you expect people to believe you?
It doesn't matter. I just put it out there because it'll wake other people up to the possibilities that what they catch on television, radio, Mars is not the whole picture. NASA's not going to tell you about life on Mars. People are not going to pay you to do a lot of stuff if they can get free work out of you. People won't hire you unless, you know, you're of a certain type. So jobs are somewhat tough to come by. And if you're not in the right place at the right time, then you got to make your own way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But the thing is, making your own way doesn't usually involve, taking claim for, like, the top 40 from 1987 to, 1995.
You know, Ken,
yeah, but that's 20 years ago. of work that I did that I was at my peak.
But that's nearly 20 years of being on top for everything and no one knowing it.
Ken, I'm not sure what the problem you're having here is. He proved...
And look how long it took them to get to Mars after that 20 years.
Exactly.
Well, if you've done all this work, why didn't it happen sooner? You said you peaked when you were 30. You're 51. Why didn't it happen 20 years ago?
Because it takes a long time for some people to get, you know, the right things to happen. And you know, even after that happens, the access to the knowledge is denied.
You know, like you can't create a rocket ship overnight, New Style.
Yeah, I know I can't. I know I can't. I know Jerry can't. Jerry,
I'm not gonna break into radio, okay? The ghostwriting stuff. I've done tons for Stern, right?
Sure.
But yet, for me to get hired, you know, it's a little tough. It's tough because I'm living in Delaware, right? I'm not moving. So for me to get into radio, it's like I'd have to podcast pretty much, right? Or what? Buy my own radio studio? You know, I'm not there.
Why don't you do your own show? Why don't you take?
It's not my idea of fun anymore. You know, when you get older, you have different aspirations. And some fizzle and some, start up at a later life.
Fair enough.
You move
now,
on.
What are some of your aspirations right now? Because I don't want to hear 20 years from now when you're 70-something that, you know, you've created some amazing thing that nobody knows about. So what are you working on right now? Joining us on the show is our buddy Mike from Queens. Mike from Queens, how are you?
Okay, well, you just asked me a question, but... I'll let you talk to Mike from Queens.
No. He had a question for you, Jerry. Jerry.
Okay, no, Jerry.
Jerry.
I was really
Jerry.
Good.
Jerry.
Jerry.
Jerry invented the hang-up. He fucking invented the hang-up, Frank. That. You believe him? I believe him. I've got Spark's tongue right now. Look at this. Orange. Awesome. So, Ed, how are you? How was that burger in Bronx?
Yeah, it's kind of tough to follow.
Yeah, it's really...
Does anybody believe the guy?
I believe him wholeheartedly.
That's because you're a gullible, bald fool.
I believe that he is, he believes it. I believe that he believes it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. You know what? Veal Chop is checking in, again, from the Awful Hour, theawfulhour.com. He says, man, maybe he knew the bit. You know he did, because he actually wrote it, and I took all the credit for it. I took all the credit for it. I'm sorry. Wow, I don't know. And he also wrote this upcoming segment about you and Frank sharing a burger in the Bronx. Ed, why the fuck would you drag Frank, somebody who doesn't leave his basement, to the Bronx?
Because it was a place that I've gone to since I was in college. And for me, it was the best burger that I've ever had. And kind of Frank went kind of nuts about the burger that we had when we went to Manhattan to the Brooklyn Diner. And I thought I had a place to take him to that was better. So that's why we traipsed up to the Bronx.
Amazing.
Do you realize that I was driven over the George Washington Bridge to get a fucking hamburger? Are you aware of that?
Frank, you are a native New Jersey person. You live a 45-minute car ride from fucking New York City. The Bronx.
Why don't you just give my fucking coordinates?
What?
Continue.
The thing is, why are you dragging him to a place that you remember from college? You and Frank are of comparable age, within like 5 years, right?
Four or three years.
Sure. Why are you dragging him to some kind of a burger place that you've enjoyed when you were, you know, younger? It could have not even, you know, it could have been completely different.
No, I've been there. Recently, as little as I think it was like 2005 or 2004 was the last time I was there.
Wait, Ed, I'm sorry, Ed. I have to interrupt. Jerry's a little bit miffed. He just posted in the Pal Talk room and in the Heroes Talk room. Anybody interested, you can call me. And he gave his number. I'm not gonna read it, but it's a Delaware number. That's Jerry Lee Hain, creator of Anything You've Ever Enjoyed. Including margarine, masturbation, and Smells Like Teen Spirit. Very good. So, you know what? He may have even created this burger, but 20 years ago. So, you know, it may have been a little bit different now.
Yeah, but it was the same. It continues to stay the same. The place looks the same. from when I went there in 92 or 3. So I knew it would be good.
So it's the same. It's the best burger you've ever had, and it stayed the same.
Correct.
It continues to be the best burger you've ever had.
Yes.
Frank, do you share this sentiment?
I do not share that sentiment. I would rank it as maybe one of the top 25 burgers I've ever had. Certainly not the top burger I had. The top burger I had still remains the Brooklyn Dial. I am in a quest for the best burger in the tri-state area. Ken took me to a dive, which was no more than a frozen patty on a stale bun.
Frank, shut up! I'm trying to concentrate! God damn it! Jesus! I'm getting
Frank,
my spiral
was
notebook!
Better than the one you had with Ed,
Ken? Shut the fuck up! Can't you tell I'm trying to fucking, you know, invent a fucking satellite that will jerk me off and enable me to lie to fucking 20 people on a goddamn internet radio show? God damn it! Where's my trapper keeper? Frank, tell the story about the burger.
There's really nothing to sell. We went, you know, it wasn't that great, I gotta be honest with you. I mean, the place was a complete, I'm not gonna name the place, it was a complete dive. Paneled walls, outdated, irrelevant photographs on the wall. What's worse is the waiter, as soon as we got there, or right before he took our order, he coughed in his hand. Which obviously set off the signal that I'm going to be a little bit nervous for the rest of the night. And it was just a, you know, it was a burger.
All right, Frank. What you see? What I've just done?
I've taken
a strand of fabric, better known as a leash, and I've discovered that.
Wait,
but
what do you need a leash for? Are you doing some type of sexual kinky activity?
Inventing? I've invented a bungee jump that doesn't require jumping. I've invented this. The thing is, NASA won't even fucking talk to me. I'm just trying to get my ideas out to Jerry Lehane, and he hangs up on me. I had all these ideas ready to go. I had a baldness cure that requires that you live in a basement. That's what we were going to reveal tonight. That's why you live in your basement. He hangs up before I can even reveal these things. I've been tirelessly working on these fucking inventions, and he just fucking hangs up.
He didn't want the competition.
He didn't want the competition. Young girl in a log cabin. That was a song. I was going to give it to Tom Petty. I can't give it to Tom Petty. I have to give it to Jerry Lehane. Young girl in a log cabin napping. Take a napkin, wipe your mouth. That's the song!
No doubt.
It's amazing, Frank. I can't believe this. I was willing to I wanted to get into the burgeoning industry of being a liar about creating famous things, and he hangs up. My only foot in the door of becoming a fantastic liar hangs up on me.
You know, Ken, didn't mention to him that you invented the emo look. As well as the goth look.
He invented grunge. I invented emo. One day, you know, it was a very humid day. My hair was to the side. And I wasn't really feeling it. I was just pretty sad and depressed. Drank a lot of coffee. And I decided, you know, I'm going to write about high school and songs and play four chords. It's amazing. I created a whole movement. And I have to tell you, I never really told anybody about this until me and my buddy from college, we were driving around. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. He's sitting in the driver's seat. And I say, stop the car. I put my hands right on the dashboard, and I say, dude, I got to confess. I created this whole movement, and I don't know what to do with it. And you may have heard of Dashboard Confessional. You may have heard of them.
I have heard of it.
Yeah.
That was you.
It was me. I invented these things.
Wow.
I'm just trying to sympathize with Jerry Lehane. And he hangs up on me, Frank.
I don't know why he hung up on you. We were giving him his chance to tell the world.
Just like you invented the itchy ass.
Well, listen.
Before we move on to that, Ed, your burger sucked balls, from what I hear.
Then, Frank, you lied to me. You said it was one of the better ones, and now you're saying it's run of the mill.
I say, hey Ed, hey Frank, how was Ed's burger? He goes, I've had better. I've had much, much better.
Ed, I didn't want to make you feel bad, Ed. It sucked! It sucked! It sucked!
Well, it didn't prevent you from wolfing it down.
Well, I wanted to be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Did it help your itchy ass, Frank? Ed, we're going to let you go, Ed. Why don't you go the way of the Lehane right now?
I think that would be best for all.
Sorry, I did it for you. My bad. Frank, you mentioned your itchy ass. You decided that you wanted to go to a doctor. Did this happen? Did you do this?
I finally, after 6 months of suffering with my itchy ass, I went to the dermatologist yesterday.
Hold on.
After 6 months of procrastination.
Hold on. You got an appointment?
Yes.
Wow. And what happened?
Diagnosis for my ass rash. Eczema. I have severe.
You have asksema.
I have eczema on my buttocks.
Asksema.
Yes. Is it eczema or eczema?
Eczema. Eczema. I don't know, Frank. Wow. You have eczema on your ass? How do you get this? What did they say it was from?
I don't know what it's from, but I know what the other thing is from.
Really? What other thing? What are you talking about?
Well, as you know, I do suffer from chronic anal itch.
Chronic anal itch.
Yes.
Wow. Well, what is that from?
The dermatologists indicate that the anal itch is caused by microscopic fecal molecules that attach themselves onto the anus opening after flatulence, thus causing irritation.
So you agree that when you fart, molecules of shit affix themselves to your anal opening?
According to the doctor, that's correct.
Of course. Absolutely. So what else did he say?
The doctor recommends that I do not wipe my ass, but rather I go into the shower and wash my ass out with hot soapy water.
So
the doctor wants me to avoid eating foods that will produce excessive gases, such as spinach, cabbage, and other green leafy vegetables. He wants me to avoid coffees.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? No coffee.
No, I have to curb on my lattes, and I don't know how it's going to affect me. I cannot survive without my daily venti latte intake.
So do you still go to Starbucks?
Of course, I went there 3 times today.
Well, did it go okay? I mean, did everything work out?
So far, so good. But you know, the night's not over.
Really?
Yes.
So you still go there? I mean, you're a regular there.
You know what?
They would be shocked to not see you.
I had a bad experience. Actually, today, just to real quick here, since we're talking about Starbucks, I ordered my typical venti latte, which is 20 ounces of delicious goodness in a cup. And usually, the cup.
By the way,
I'm
the one who told Starbucks that they should use Italian words for their sizing.
Okay, so what happened was she handed me the cup through the drive-thru. It was very, very light. I knew right off the bat that they gave me fucking foam cappuccino.
I'm sorry. Barb points out that I am a ghost drinker. So they gave... Yeah. Wait, hold on. What did they do to you?
Well, they obviously gave me a cappuccino instead of a venti, instead of a latte, because the cappuccino has more foam in it. It was very light, and it wasn't my usual heaviness that I'm used to.
So they gave you that cup. When they give you that foam cup, you expect it to be heavier. And
expect to be heavier.
Your hand goes up. It's like it's so light.
Right.
Just a cup of foam. It's disgusting. Right.
I take the cup. I bring it back. I grab the cup, and I'm saying to myself, oh, shit. What do I do now? Now, Starbucks is the type of place that wants customers to be happy. They want customers to return any food products that they are not satisfied with. However, even though they've given me that okay to do so, I still feel awkward in complaining about my beverage not being satisfactory.
That goes against our commandments.
Yes.
Of public eateries. You do not return something.
Never.
You only return it if you don't want anything back.
Right.
You want your beverage. You can't return it. Starbucks has turned it on its head. They encourage you to do this. But I don't think that the employees are necessarily happy because the company wants this. Right. It's the same result.
So, Ken, I stood there. I sat there in my car with this half foam cup, paralyzed, not knowing what to do. As soon as she gave me the cup, I opened up the lid, and as I had suspected, it was 50% foam. I was aggravated. I was confused. I was unsure how to handle the situation. I didn't know if I should say something, not say something. And I ended up, believe it or not, I ended up not doing a damn thing.
You didn't do anything, and you were in the drive-thru.
I was in the. I sat in the drive-thru after she gave me the money and the cup. I sat in the drive-thru for about 3 or 4 minutes, just sitting there, debating on what to do. If I should, you know, say excuse me, you know, there's a problem here. I did not do so.
How many cars are behind you?
There was no cars behind me, thank God.
You just sat there and stared at this cup?
I stared at the cup in disgust.
and she said, is there anything I can do for you? And you didn't know what to say. I mean, usually you have a good experience with Starbucks. You're a preferred customer. You go there every day. They know what you want.
I am a special rewards customer at Starbucks. They know what I want before I even get there. Are you aware of this before?
Absolutely.
They see my car 30 feet ahead, and they know what to get me beforehand. Now, remember I said I was having a problem with Starbucks? I was cutting down from 4 equals to 3 equals.
Yeah.
But yet, even though I asked for 3 equals, they would continue to give me 4 equals because they were so used to my order.
Yes.
What I've done now is I've corrected the problem. What I do now is I ask for 4 equals, and they now give me 3 equals.
Sure. Absolutely. So so they do that for you, and everything's fine. You've never had another problem?
No.
No.
Until today.
Until today?
Yes.
Well, it's just the foam thing?
It's the foam thing. I don't like the foam. The foam is a waste of money.
Really?
Dry bad, wet good.
Amanda had a gift card, and I went there, and I tried the new tea lattes. I think a gift card is a pretty good thing to give somebody, especially if they like Starbucks. Although, I mean... You're talking all this stuff about Starbucks. You really shouldn't be going there.
Well, what happened was
let
me tell you what happened. And this is what something else that pissed me off as well. I'm a big fan of Starbucks, as you know. I have a one of those prepaid gift cards which you just mentioned. It was given to me by my own friend Ed McGrath. He actually gave me a free card. He had extras from something,
so
I don't know.
He risked your life to have a mediocre burger and gave you coffee that's going to ruin your asshole.
Right. So the next day I used the card. I used the card that day that he gave it to me. Then I used the card the next day, okay? And now let me tell you, I know this cashier on a first-name basis. We've talked about our families, things of that nature, okay? I gave her the card, and she comes back to me. You owe us 3 cents.
So?
That wouldn't hit you the wrong way?
I mean, if I have a card, and I make an order, and the card's only good for so much. If they need more money, they need more money.
They have the nerve to ask me for 3 cents. They have a tip cup. They could have got out of the fucking tip cup.
So you're pissed off because you go there every day.
I was insulted! It's insulting for somebody to ask you for 3 cents. I looked at her cockeyed. I said, excuse me?
Now, you engaged in a verbal spat with this person.
Yes, I did, and our relationship will never be the same. I said to her, listen, I says, do you realize who I am?
What?
I am a Starbucks preferred customer, yet you asked me for 3 cents. And it was very humiliating. And if I see that person at the drive-thru, I don't go. I will go inside. That's all I had to say.
So, did you pay the 3 cents?
I had no choice.
So you caved again. You're a pussy. You make all these threats. You bark really, really loud, and then, okay, you can have your way. You fold. You fall over immediately. That is the definition of pussy. You are a pussy. Frank, say it. Tell the world.
I am a pussy.
You are a pussy. And I'm glad that you finally have acknowledged this. Our 200th episode, clusterfuck as it might be.
Oh, total.
Fantastic. Fantastic in that we've had a black man from Chicago who films whatever, and it's genius.
This guy is fucking awesome.
The guy holds
Mr. Shy City is awesome.
He holds his camera at a toilet, and it's amazing.
Yes.
However, Jerry Lehane, who claims to have created pretty much half the catalog of Tom Petty, boring as fuck. How can you claim to have created so much great stuff and just be the most boring, drolling motherfucker ever? And he says he has proof of life on Mars. It's basically a picture from NASA that has like a red square and like a green square highlighted and like an arrow pointing to a rock and saying like, this is where the dinosaurs are. The guy's out of his mind. He is literally out of his mind. And I think we heard in his voicemail, his name isn't even Jerry Lehane. Like, he's ghostwriting his own existence.
He's ghostwriting his answering machine.
He is. He's a fucking answering machine ghostwriter. Ghost answerer, Frank.
It's a fucking snooze.
It's a fucking snooze. Frank, I look forward to doing 200 more with you.
Thank you, sir.
I do. I really do. It's cutting. Even though you're a bastard dog abuser. I'm not going to sit here idly by, Frank. You have two dogs, correct? What are their names?
I have two dogs, Maltese, Marvin and Sophie. They're 11 years old, 77 in age years. My dog, Marvin, took a dump on my living room hardwood floors, and I proceeded to slap his ass. However, I realized in the course of slapping his ass that I'm slapping the ass of a 77-year-old man, because he is indeed 77 years old. I myself am 38 years old. I think it's elderly abuse if I hit the dog.
It might be, Frank! Keep talking!
So what I did was, I realized what I was doing was bad, and I stopped immediately, and I will never hit my Marvin again. I love him so much. By the way, his dick was out like about 3 inches today.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Marvin, really sporting it there, Frank. Yeah. I want to say that I've embarked on a new world.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I've become a dog owner.
Excuse me?
I have a dog.
You took the leap. You actually purchased a dog. Oh man, what did you get? Like a Rottweiler or like a some type of German Shepherd or something? Maybe like a bulldog. What kind of dog did you get, Ken?
Cockapoo.
Excuse me?
Cockapoo.
You purchased a cockapoo?
Cockapoo.
Oh, boy.
Is that okay?
It's kind of gay.
Here he is right here. This is Teddy. And Teddy will be living with me, pending a visit to the vet. If the vet finds out that Teddy is unfit for ownership, Teddy will be put down and erased from my memory. And then I'll get a new Teddy. Isn't that right, Teddy? Isn't that right? Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is. He's a good boy. He just pissed outside. Second time ever. There he is. However, Teddy, if you have a problem with you, yes, you're going to be put down. And I'll get a new dog or a refund. Isn't that right, Frank?
Yes. Yes, I feel very awkward
and
right now.
Frank, I'm going to take him to Petco. I'm gonna take him to pet stores. I'm going to let him walk around. I'm going to do everything you've ever talked about that is horrible. Oh, my God. I am so sorry to Foundry Music Jeff. I just saw a million missed calls. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this? And he hung up. Fantastic. TheWhatShow.com. Teddy, do you like The What Show?
I think it's great. I think it's great. It's what I do every Friday.
Jeff. No, we can't hear from Jeff. Anyway, Frank, what do you think of this dog?
I'm a little unhappy that you got a crossbreed. I would have preferred you got a full purebred dog. I think it's, but the dog's cute, but you got to realize he's a half-breed just like the owner.
I'm a little, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this? No go. Why don't we wrap this up? This dog is biting my fucking fingers, and he needs to go to bed. Yes. Frank, thank you very much. All right, back in the fucking cage. Thank you very much for being a part of the DJ New Style Show. Our 200th episode in the can. And it's okay. We've got a million more. We will invent songs. We will craft sci-fi scripts. Skeletons, if you will. We will be successful. We will continue to talk about shit, piss, grime, dirt, nails, ass eczema, disease, and sexual topics. Frank, thank you very much again for being a part of what we do here. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
But this is us! Yeah, no. Shut up! Hey, Ken, do you have anything to say?
Well, yeah. Nah, I'm good, thanks.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, hasha, hasha, give it to me, baby, give it to me.
Go suck banana, fuck you.